Blog
Talk. You're listening to Stock Goodies Radio. I'm your host, Nilbert. I have a very, very special guest with us today, but let me just introduce the crew to you. First of all, we have Manik Trader. Hello, Manik. How are you today, sir?
Great. How you doing, Manil?
Excellent. We have Photo Chick.
Hey.
We have Stocks Diva.
Hey, hey, hey.
And our very special guest that we have today for you is penny stock legend, Peter Leeds. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Good. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. I guess you've got some exciting news for us, Peter.
Yes, I'm actually promoting my new book called Invest in Penny Stocks, and I'm very proud of this book. It took a lot of work to put it together, and I think it's really going to accomplish what I intended for it to accomplish.
How is the book put together? What are we talking about as far as penny stocks? What are you exactly teaching us?
Well, what I wanted to achieve with this book is, first of all, to help people avoid the easily avoidable mistakes that most investors tend to make with penny stocks. At the same time, I wanted to help people find the 5% of companies that are actually really good quality investments. And what that means is that they've passed my analysis and they've got rock solid fundamentals. They're in good technical buying ranges, good management teams, all that kind of stuff.
And what do you think are the main pitfall that people make when they're actually investing in penny stocks?
That's an easy one. They are following stock picks that they get for free. We're talking about free newsletters they sign up for, free emails. These are stock picks that, they come along, they sound pretty good, but you got to ask yourself, why are these stock picks being put in front of me for free? It's because most people don't realize it's because the companies that are promoting those stocks either have a position in the company or they're getting paid by the companies themselves, as opposed to, any stock pick you're going to get from my service, it's going to be a company that's completely unaffiliated with us, no payment or compensation of any kind for us to make those picks. And that's actually very, very rare in this industry.
Right. It is, absolutely. What we do find, though, is some people do make money off these stock picks, but they've got to be very smart about how they trade it.
Right. Sometimes you can sort of go for the ride with a pump and dump stock, but that isn't what I'm about, or my business, or employees, and that's not what our service is about either. We're looking for good, solid quality companies that have patented technologies, improving fundamentals, rock solid balance sheets, good financials that have pretty good upside. We're looking for companies that are undervalued, undiscovered, and we're looking to make money in them, not because a bunch of people all get involved at once and drive up the price of some tiny little company. We want people to make money because they made a good investment in a good quality company.
Now, do you have a favorite industry sector that you look at?
Well, Maliki, right now what I'm looking at a lot is we're looking at gold and silver production companies, specifically because we're keeping an eye on inflation and also what's going on in the Middle East right now. Oil prices went up, a couple more dollars today. So we're looking for companies that are going to help stave that off and make some profits for investors. But not just any gold mining company is going to be a good investment, even with inflation. What you need is a company that has a good reserve life index, meaning how long can they keep mining the gold or the silver until they run out. And you're also looking for a company that has a lot of physical assets in the ground. A gold exploration company, even if the price of gold doubles or triples, it doesn't really help them. But a gold company that's actually mining proven reserves, they're going to really benefit because it's basically like their assets are there in the ground.
Now, when I read a press release on a gold mining company, it confuses the hell out of me. I can't lie to you. I mean, you hear about veins and the depths, and it means nothing to me.
John, veins and...
How do you read those things?
Well, you know, that's probably a longer topic for another time, but I'll admit to you that I'm not that great at it as well. What I tend to do with that and with biotech is I'll bring in somebody who knows a little bit more about it than I do, and I'll sort of put their analysis together with mine and try and get an idea of where this company might go. But, you know, it's basically like, you know, you would need a lot of education to really understand them. So you either get somebody else to help you, or you don't get involved with those kind of companies if you don't truly understand them. That's what.
Yeah, and well, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. So it sounds like you don't work alone, Peter.
Yeah, I have a team of right now it's 6 people. I'd like to have more, but it's been a pretty crazy economy for the last, I'll say, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my team went from 11 people down to 6 right now. But we are looking at potentially expanding that as need be. Right now, we're doing everything we need to do with the people we have.
Good stuff. Now, when you're doing due diligence on a company, where do you start?
I personally start with the balance sheet almost always. Mm-hmm. That isn't, you know, what most people probably do, but what we're going to do is we're going to put any company into our leads analysis process. And the first thing we look at is the fundamentals. And the first fundamentals we look at is the balance sheet to make sure, you know, does this company have enough money to pay the obligations it has right now? And then you start going from there and you look at just about every aspect of the balance sheet, the cash flow statement, every aspect of the income statement. Then you start looking at management. And if you, you know, at any point there, if something's looking a little fishy, you get rid of it. You get it off your list. You look at another company. That's the way we look at it. But, you know,
With a big, huge list, and you just knock them off as you're going along?
That's right. Any stock that's trading at $5 or less is technically on our radar. But, you know, that's going to whittle down, you know, about 5% of companies, in our opinion, we feel are good enough to pass leads analysis, good enough for us to put in front of the eyes of our subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
And we've, you know, what we do is the other 95%, you know, they're not good enough investments for what we're looking for. And you have lots of options, as anybody who's done a stock screen knows. So there's no reason you should get married to a company, or you should, you know, be trying to like a company if there's any kind of warning signs. You know, so what we do is we put it into leads analysis, which is 80% fundamental analysis, 10% technical, and then 10% what we call third-level analysis, which gets into the company's branding and positioning and marketing strategies.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're looking at this balance sheet, I know you're looking for something that's stable, et cetera, but most of the penny stock companies, I mean, especially development companies, development stage companies, they've not got any income. So
that's right.
I mean,
that's
when
right.
You're looking at a company with no income, how are you finding something good in their balance sheet?
Well, you wouldn't. That's exactly what I'm talking about when I say 95% of penny stocks don't make our cut. I mean, I take a look at that income statement, and you've got, you know, zero revenues. There would have to be something else about the company that's incredibly compelling to try and even keep our interest at that point. What I'm looking for is a company that's just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to make pretty good revenues. It might not be profitable yet, but it's rapidly approaching that point. And you go from there. So we're looking at for companies that are trading for $1, $2 a share that actually do have the revenues, and do have the earnings, and do have low debt, and, you know, the right kind of alliances and the right kind of patents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, your target audience, I would think, are the investors more so than the traders. These are the people that are actually working real jobs, unlike us, and they got some extra money and they want to have a flutter with the penny stocks. Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, you'd be absolutely right. I mean, our audience and our subscriber base and the people who would benefit from this book is pretty diverse. There's people who are, you know, pretty advanced traders who have seven-figure incomes that trade, and they like to dabble in the more exciting stocks. But in general, our followers are people who are new investors or less experienced investors, and they're more long-term investors, short-term investors, as opposed to traders. And generally, that's sort of what our newsletter, PeterLeeds.com, is focused on. But this book that we've just put out, Invest in Penny Stocks, is geared towards people who are new and less experienced investors in penny stocks, but also there's parts of it that are geared for more advanced investors, not so much towards traders as much as, like you said, towards the towards people who are looking to invest in good
looking
quality.
To invest, uh-huh. And do you deal at all with technicals on a stock? I mean, we're all chart readers here, so.
Yeah, we do about 10% of its technical analysis, but, you know, as you probably understand with penny stocks, especially, you know, more thinly traded ones, you're not going to get really good reads on the technicals, on the technical analysis side of things. Sometimes you can. I identify in my book, I think there's about 15 or 16 technical analysis indicators that I've sort of found applied to penny stocks. And we're not talking about conventional analysis indicators, but more just sort of getting an idea for the way penny stocks trade, which is very different than if you're doing technical analysis on a blue chip or a large cap company.
Right, I would agree wholeheartedly there. Now, would the trading volume on a stock be of concern to you at all?
That's one of the things that we take very seriously, and it's very important that you get into companies that are have a high enough trading volume, or else you're going to be, you know, either moving the price when you buy and sell, which is what you do not want to have happen, or you're going to have a hard time getting into the company and getting out of the company when it's time to sell your position. So we look at companies that, in part of our analysis, we look at companies that have strong trading volumes that therefore it won't be problematic for people to get in and out of those companies pretty easily. And I should say as well that, you know, we have a very large following. And so if we put out a stock pick and everybody says, oh, that sounds great, and they all go buy it at once, that's going to drive the price up significantly. So
yeah.
What we do with the more thinly traded companies is we'll put them together all in one report where we go, well, here's, you know, 10 companies that we like that are under a dollar, that are undiscovered, undervalued. We put them out all at once, and what that does is it disperses the buying footprint. And at the same time, we try to educate our followers, and the same education is detailed in the book itself.
So you avoid the Kramer factor.
Exactly. That's the last thing you want to have happen. You know, you double the price of a stock just by mentioning it, and then where, you know, people get in late on that are more likely to lose money than to make money. And that's a problem for everybody.
That always is a problem. I mean, with every trade, there's a winner and a loser. You know, that's what I always say. You know?
Yeah.
There's, you
know, zero-sum game.
Yeah. Your gain is somebody else's loss. I mean, that's usually the case with it. I'm sorry. I got somebody trying to call me, doesn't realize I'm actually on radio. Like I said, I've been pretty busy today. And they totally took me off my train of thought. So if any of the other any of the other people in here have a question for Peter, please fire away.
Hey Peter, this is Fotochick. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I do have some questions for you. I've been digging around your website and thoroughly enjoying it, and I see here that not only do you guys have like a newsletter out that you send out to people, but that you also like give the buy and sell price opinions. And my question for you is there a track record? Do you have a place that you keep a track of these opinions of yours that we could go back and see how some of the past history has done on some of these tickers?
Yeah, absolutely. We keep a track every single one of our stock picks, and it's all available. If you contact questions@peterleeds.com, just ask for the track record. You'll get every stock pick we've made the last, you know, if you want, last 2-3 years back, as far as you want to go. You're not going to get stock picks that we've made recently because those are still in play for our subscribers, and we don't want people getting the track record, seeing our recent picks, just going out and buying those without, you know, paying for the information.
That's right. Oh, yeah, I understand that very well. And I know that would you mind talking a little bit about this service that you have? I think that, you know, you offer like the you have a tip sheet, and isn't there like a free trial period for this? And you kind of want to go over that with our listeners so we can get a good idea of what other things you have to offer for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. We actually are doing a free trial for 14 days. Anybody mm-hmm. can come along, take a free trial, cost zero. And, I mean, that's what I mean by free, of course. It doesn't cost you anything. And you'll get full access, unlimited access to the entire newsletter for 2 weeks. You can cancel any time at the end of 2 weeks. If you want to keep the subscription going, then you'll get billed $195 for a full year of service. And once you are a member, what you get to see is we've got the hot list, which is all our stock picks with buy and sell price opinions for short and long term, mm-hmm. full company reports on every company that we talk about. And we have extra bonus articles and special reports that will help people become better traders. You get access to the Whitefoot's Rant, which is my senior editor. He does a blog about three times a week, and he's probably mm-hmm. the smartest guy I know. You're going to want to read that. We have a whole bunch of other sections in there. There's a quick fix reports where we put out the 10 stocks under a dollar together at once. Every 3 months we do that. So there's that's one of our most popular. And every stock pick we make, no matter what type it is, it's all with the 100% unbiased guarantee. We're not going to make a single penny by picking one company over another ever.
Right.
We don't take compensation of any kind. So the newsletter, it's a lot of fun. We've got a pretty significant following, and it's I'm pretty proud of it because we take it very seriously. We're very professional, and we're trying to keep our ethics and morals, using that to lead us in an industry that's mm-hmm. been, pretty questionable in my opinion.
And it sounds very reasonable, $195 for a year, and it's just not a newsletter that you're giving out. It's quite a nice little package here, and you said in the reports from the company that's a report of the DD that you guys have come out on the companies as well. Then is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And you get two new stock picks per week, and with full reports Tuesdays and Thursdays. And mm-hmm. we also do updates Monday through Friday, every day, 5 days a week. We do updates on companies we've picked in the past and tell you sort of what's going on with them, which is something that you're not going to get from any of these one-man show operations that are out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds very interesting. So I don't know if Nilbud is back yet.
Oh, I'm back. I'm back.
We need to get back on that book. That could be my one.
It was very adamant at getting me. My phone was ringing every 2 seconds. But what can I say? So Peter, where can we buy the book? Is it going to be in bookstores, or was it online? Or
it was released publicly March 1st, and you should be able to get it anywhere books are sold, bookstores. But you can also get it online, obviously, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Or mm-hmm. you can go to our website, and there's a link there where you can buy the book as well.
Okay. What is the title again?
Invest in Penny Stocks.
Invest in Penny Stocks.
Okay. That should be easy to remember.
Now, I asked you earlier about if there's any sectors that you're looking at or that you're interested in. Is there any sectors that you avoid like the plague?
Biotech. Biotech for sure, because
you're in trouble.
Oh no!
I'm a businessman, okay? I do not understand any business where the business model is to just burn through cash to try and achieve something. At some point, you should be able to fund your own operations. Biotechs generally don't do that. I have picked biotechs in the past, and I have picked some kind of recently, but I only do that very sparingly and with a little bit of extra due diligence. And just like you were saying, Malachi, about the mining companies, when I read about biotech companies and what they're working on, that to me is like another language. I don't really understand it.
Uh-huh.
It becomes even harder for me to turn around and recommend a company to someone.
Well, see, that's why we have a biotech expert with us.
Now, if you ever need any help, Peter, trying to dissect and try to figure those biotechs out, you can give me a call. This is Diva.
Yeah, absolutely. I would take all the help I can get with that.
It can be tricky, and it can be. I mean, when I teach people due diligence on biotechs, I tell you, you need to know when to pull the trigger, and that's the most important. And in a perfect world, I always tell them, get out a day or two before. Follow the news on the speculation and get out, because you just never know when it's going to happen.
Exactly. Buy the rumor, sell the fact.
That's exactly where I go with it.
And I'm a little bit biased as well, because I get a lot of subscribers coming to me and saying, hey, what do you think about this biotech company? You know, they're working on a cure for cancer. Well, it sounds great. So people are buying it thinking, well, if they do this, this stock's going to go through the roof. But if you go and take a look at the company, they're burning through, you know, so many millions of dollars every month, and their revenues are zero. And a lot of what they're doing is just promoting the stock as opposed to actually advancing the business. Mm-hmm. And I think you'd agree with me. There's a lot of those kind of companies. So my first instinct is to tell people stay away from biotech until you find one that you have a really compelling reason to get involved with. And I mean more compelling than just having a good story.
Exactly.
Well, we're not, being traders, we're not totally against stock promotion, Peter. We've got to tell you that. The thing is that with most of these penny companies, they need money, okay? And they need to, their ideas have not gotten off the ground. They've not got an income from it, and they need money. And some of them are good companies, you know, that aren't actually producing an income yet, or at least one that they can show a profit on. And what happens is an awful lot of them get in the trap of dealing with these toxic loan guys.
Right.
And what the toxic loan guys do is they're buying these shares at 50% below the bid. So when they're selling those shares into the market, they don't care what they do.
Right.
And they are reckless when they come in. The company comes out with news and they're selling at the bid. And it destroys the stock.
Exactly.
What the best case scenario for these penny companies is to be able to try and hold off from using these guys for long enough that they can get a good steady flow of volume going on their stock, and they can get a better loan conditions from accredited investors that'll take their stock at, you know, 95% to 93% below the bid, so that way, you know, when they do sell that stock back in, they're not looking to destroy the stock, they're actually looking to make money off it, so they will allow the stock to rise up when they're selling back into it. So, you know, that's the thing. That's what you got to try and look for as a trader. Now, I agree with you entirely on the investor side of it. If you're investing your money in a penny stock, you want to be investing your money in something that's already making money.
Right, exactly. Well, I'll give you an example. You know, back when General Motors, just before it went bankrupt, the automakers had done so badly then that we took a look to see if they were undervalued. I took a look at GM, and I said, no way. But I took a look at Ford. I said, you know what, there's something here. This has been oversold. It's got, you know, great potential. We picked it at $1.87 after GM went bankrupt. $1.87, it went to about $16 a share in about a year and a half.
Yeah, we got you beat. Stockity's got it at a dollar.
Yeah. And you know, that is people don't think of Ford when they think of penny stocks and vice versa.
But it was there.
Yeah, anything $5 and under is a penny stock from our perspective.
Yeah, that exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have
people realize that.
One of the co-hosts of the show, he goes by Barney in the chat room, Chris. He actually bought Ford at $1 and rode it all the way up to $16.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and but it take a year. A year?
About a year and a half.
A little over a year.
Yeah, he held it. 100% in 1 year. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Oh, he was a happy camper, let me tell you.
So is there anything that you're looking at right now that, you know, looks good to you?
Well, we just went through, put out a few oil and gas production companies. We just put out a few silver mining and gold mining companies. That'll probably be it for that for a little while now. And we're always looking at technology. I'm a technology fan. If you get the right company that is an acquisition target, or the right company that has, you know, increasing revenues, driving quickly towards producing earnings, then that's going to be pretty good. Most of these technology companies, they don't have inventory, and they're you know, I won't say undervalued, but there's a lot of good opportunities right now. But we are looking at all sectors, even biotech. all the time. So it's hard to know what we're going to be picking even next week, but we have a watch list right now with a whole bunch of stuff on it, and we pick the ones that we think are the best buying opportunities at that time.
Now, talking about oil, what do you think of these companies that are extracting oil from the oil sands in Canada?
Well, Canada, I believe, don't quote me on this, but they have either, if you count the oil sands, they have either the second most or the most oil reserves in the world. And most people don't realize that, but most people don't count oil sands. The problem is it costs so much more energy to suck the oil out of the sand, get the sand, basically filter it. But I know that you can go to Western Canada, you can reach down in the ground and pick up oil with your hand. It's sitting right on the surface. It's just dirty oil.
Wow.
It costs more in pollution and carbon emissions to extract the oil and filter it. But the thing is, when you're talking about $102 a barrel for oil, it's definitely
it becomes worth it.
It becomes worth it. And I think my outlook for oil prices is actually a lot higher. And I think that it's just going to be, you know, it's coming from a source that is, you know, a lot more stable than the Middle East or South America. It's coming from Canada, and it's a lot closer. And if they can find some, and they're always coming up with new technologies, it's getting better and better. I mean, I remember about, you know, 10, 15 years ago, they were talking about it. They're still talking about it now, but now they're finally finding ways to quickly filter this oil and get it ready for use. And they're doing it right now as we speak. You know, so many millions of barrels a day is going to just keep on increasing. And I think most of that oil is going to be going straight south to the States.
And like as you touched on there, I think the other plus side to them is, you know, they might beat us in hockey, but they're not flying planes into our building.
Well, we'll play on football, right?
Yeah. Well, Peter, unless there's anything else you have to add, we're almost up.
Sure, absolutely. I'll just finish off by saying, if I sell, you know, a few of these books, it doesn't really make me that much money. And part of why I put this book together is to actually genuinely help somebody who's getting interested in penny stocks or getting interested in investing in general. So the book is definitely geared towards people who, you know, they want to find out what the dangers are, avoid those dangers. And from that point on, it's easy to find the 5% of penny stocks that could return some pretty significant gains.
And I guess that if anybody has a personal question straight to you, they can just go to questions@peterleeds.com. Is that correct?
Correct. And the question will go to somebody else, maybe to other people first, and it might even get through to me. Or you can actually, it's probably better if you want to get in touch with me directly. You can go to my Facebook page. There's a link to it through peterleeds.com. There's a link to the book. There's a link to the Facebook page. Everything's there.
All right. Excellent. Sounds great.
Peter, thank you very much for joining us today.
It was my pleasure.
And we're quite chuffed that you picked to. You actually called us up for the interview, and I know that you've got TV stations and all sorts of things calling you up, and you came back to Goodies again. And we really appreciate it.
Yes, and we will get this edited, and we will put it on our site for everybody else to re-listen to it. Okay.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Peter.
You were just listening to Peter Leeds on Stock Goodies Radio. We want to thank you for taking this time out of your trading day to listen to us. We will see you again on Monday at 2:30.
Bad. woman beg, and I make a good woman steal. I make an old woman blush, and I make a young girl squeal. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone. Bad. Bad. Bad.
Bye.